when it's convenient. A convenient word. Kirabai Sai. I told you this word a few times. It's a word of convenience. Only when, otherwise, I make believe this word is not true. Many years ago, I had zechus of knowing, you know who this person is, Hachover Chaim Victor, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Remember him?
Why are you talking about
Zecher
Tzadik
Levracha? Why not? Zecher Levracha.
You mean
Arya's
father?
Grandfather.
Oh, grandfather. Yeah.
Dr. Victor's father.
Dr.
David Victor's father.
Dr. Victor
last week. Dr. David Victor's father.
Right.
How is he?
He's
same?
He actually looked better than the time before that.
Only because
his mind was a little bit okay.
Really? His wife is a tzaddikus.
She is?
Not to be believed what she does for him. Mamish.
We were at a family wedding.
Chassidi Umar Sa'ilam. I mean, Chassidi Yisrael. How she takes care of him is not to be believed. But in any event, so Dr. David Victor, may he have a refuah shalema, his father. Okay.
Yeah.
So when I knew him, he was already. How old was he when he was Nifta?
I know.
Very old. He's very old. So he once told me, I remember even exactly where he told it to me, in the young Israel on the steps, going upstairs, he told me this part. He said, says in Chazal, Acharoin, Acharoin Chaviv. What does that mean, Acharoin, Acharoin? Yes, the average person. It means the last, the very last. So he said to me with a starkite, it's not what it means. It means the second to last. If Chazal wanted to say that the last is Chaviv, they don't waste words. They would say, Acharoin Chaviv. They didn't say that. They said, Acharoin, Acharoin Chaviv. And the truth is, it's a Beferish Rashi. When Yaakov met Esav, and Achmed the whole passion out, he lined them all up. First he put the Bnei Ashvachos, then he put Leah, and then he put Rachel with Yosef. So it says there, so when Rashi gives you the whole order of him lining up, he says by Leah, Acharoin, Acharoin Chaviv. Why did Rashi comment that the order, the procession was first the Bila Zilpah and their children, then Leah and her children, and then Yosef, then Rachel. So we all think, we're all taught, oh, that Yaakov Avinu, the one that he cherished the most was Rachel. Because he wanted to marry Rachel, this Rachel, he loved Rachel, v'chulu. So she, of course, is the one that's the most precious. Acharoin, Acharoin Chaviv. If that's talking the case, why then did Rashi, when he made that comment, Rashi writes those words, Acharoin, Acharoin Chaviv, Rashi seemingly should have made those comments on Rachel. But Rashi on the Dibur HaMaschil on Leah he says Acharoin Acharoin. So it seems to say is that Leah happened to be the second to last, and also Leah, how do you define Chaviv? Leah herself says, I gave Yaakov Avinu half of his children. What? Because you like someone. That what makes someone more Chaviv? Because you get along with them. Or the Torah is very, sometimes the Torah is very cut and dry. Acharon, Leah gave Yaakov six children. She gave him six children. So, and Leah herself said this at some point in time. Like, I'm the Ikeres Habayis. I gave him six children. Acharon, Acharon, Chaviv. Okay, so he didn't tell me this part, but he told me, if Chazal say the word twice, Acharon, Acharon, Chaviv, it means the second to last. And over the years, I've come to learn that this is so true. When you get to the very end, the end is not really Chaviv. It's maybe you can say it's Choshuv. The Acharon, to a degree, is the most Choshuv. Chavivos is usually when you're doing your routine. When you get to the very end, there's too many distractions. When you make the last daf of Shas, can you really concentrate on the last daf of Shas when you're surrounded with all this glitter and you know, you can smell the good food for the siyum. There's a lot of distraction when you come to the very, very end. When you're getting close, when you're nearing your destination, that's chaviv. When you're on an airplane, what's the most precious time when you're on the airplane? As the plane begins to make its descent, fasten your seatbelts. We're now beginning our descent. There's another hour to go. You're not getting off the plane so quickly. The end is when the plane lands. When they taxi on the... We're now beginning our descent. People, they perk up. And if you're looking forward to going somewhere, going to Eretz Yisrael, you're going for a simcha, you're going to see your children, that's when you get excited. You don't get excited when the plane's about to land. Then you get nervous. You hope that the computer knows how to land the plane. You hope the computer knows what it's doing, not the pilot. But the very end, you know, you get all worked up. I'm here now, I gotta do this, fill the forms and do this and this, running and pushing and shot. Fasten your seatbelts. The plane is now, we are now beginning our descent. That's acharon acharon. That's the end before the end. Oh, that's a moment of chavivos. It's very true. This is a very powerful, powerful moment. Why am I telling this to you today? Today is the second to last day of the year. Rosh Chodesh is on Thursday.
Days.
Oh, I made a mistake. Okay, for tomorrow. Okay, for tomorrow, not cancel. You need a day to take it in, to get ready for tomorrow. Okay, I'm a little charata, then I don't know how to add up numbers. Okay, for tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're coming to tomorrow. Tomorrow is the second to last day of the year. There's something to that. The Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it's Thursday. This is a new year. We don't really give it much attention. It's a new year, like Rosh Hashanah. And in fact, it's in many ways it's more chashav than Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a zman of yira. Elul, Tishrei is a zman of yira. Nisan is a zman of ahava. And according to the Rabbi Eliezer, the Machlekes, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, when did Hashem create the world? Did Hashem create the world in Elul? In Tishrei, or did Hashem create the world in Nisan? So many of the commentators, they tell us Elu v'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim b'machshava. Hashem prepared the plans. He laid out the plans in the world of Machshava, whatever that means, in Tishrei. But Lemaisa, when did the world actually come and spring into action? We pass it like this. We make the Berchas HaChama. We pass on Halacha Lemaisa like Rabbi Yeshua. The world was really created in Chodesh Nisan. Aleph Nisan is the day of the Berea of Adam. That's how we pass it, of Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon was created on this coming Thursday. This coming Thursday is the new man, is the man's Adam's birthday. You have a birthday present for Adam HaRishon, it's his birthday this coming Thursday. Oh, but when you go into the shul in Rosh Hashanah and you daven, Hayoyim haras haylam, Hayoyim yamid b'mishpat kol yitzir olamim, b'machshava. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he laid out the plans, he presented the blueprints. But Lemaisa, like Rabbi Yoshua, the world was created in Chodesh Nisan. So it's a significant day. The day before Rosh Chodesh Nisan is in fact a Tainus. Okay, Yom Kippur Katan. We don't really practice that too much today, but there are some people that are very makbid, especially, you know, there are different madregos of when you observe Yom Kippur Katan. Most of us don't do it at all. In the world of the yeshivas, they do it on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Rosh Chodesh Elul, you already get into the swing of things, they begin with Yom Kippur Katan. And the next time that is a popular time to focus on Yom Kippur Katan is before Nisan. Because before Nisan, it's the creation of the world, the Chodesh of Geula, and it's a very holy month, a whole month of Kedusha. And Mimela, before we come to Nisan, it's a good opportunity to brush up on doing Teshuvah. So that's on Wednesday. What about Tuesday? What's the yichus of this coming tomorrow, Tuesday? It's Acharon Chaviv. It's the second to last day. There's no tainus. You don't have to go fast. It's not a Monday, Thursday. There's nothing special. It's a regular day. And that's indeed what makes it Chashev. It's, ladies and gentlemen, fasten your seatbelts. We're now making our descent into the Chodesh of Geula. HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodashim Rishon Yom L'Chodesh HaShana. And it's a Zman of Geula for Klal Yisrael.
Rabbi, what you said a moment ago, that Acharon Chaviv means that even though Leah was next to last, she was most Chaviv. But we know that the most Chaviv to Yaakov was Rachel.
How do we define the word Chaviv? What is Chaviv? The one that Yaakov loved. It says in the Torah that Yaakov loved. Vayehav Yaakov es Rachel. Vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel. He kissed her. Mm-hmm. He loved her. That's what the Torah says about the relationship of Yaakov and Rachel. Klal Yisrael came from Yaakov. From Yaakov. Who gave Yaakov Avinu half of Klal Yisrael?
Okay.
So how do you define our vocabulary, we define chaviv equal to love. Is that correct? Maybe it is. Maybe not. Maybe chaviv has its own flavor. There's a certain value that Rachel provided that Leah did not.
Cherish.
Leah had two children. Rachel had six children. Leah had six children. Rachel had two children, Leah had six children. Every child that Yaakov had with Leah is an incredible enhancement to Klal Yisrael. And the sum is greater than the parts. And there's a chavivus that Yaakov had for Leah that you have to say that he could not possibly have had for Rachel. Leah built half of Klal Yisrael. Rachel did not. There are different vocabulary words. There's a word ahava, there is the word choviv, and everything has to be taken in context. It is an interesting thing that Chazal did say acharon, acharon choviv. Chazal are extremely precise with their words. They did not say acharon choviv, acharon, acharon choviv, and this opens up a whole new commentary of what exactly is the meaning of the word choviv. And I thought today was the second to last day before Rosh Chodesh. That's a mistake. Tomorrow is the second to last day of Rosh Chodesh. So we can preserve this thought for tonight and tomorrow, is that tomorrow is a very special day. Erev Rosh Chodesh, you don't say Tachnun. Erev Rosh Chodesh, if you're a Litvak who likes to shakel and look at the world that's coming to an end, then it's a great day to you fast and observe Yom Kippur Katan. But tomorrow, there's no fast day on the calendar. And it's not a Monday, Thursday where you have to say a long tachnun. And it's just an ordinary day. And it's a day when the pilot of the world, Ribbono Shel'olam, is making an announcement to this world. Ladies and gentlemen, sit down and fasten your seatbelts. We are now about to begin our descent into the Geula. And as we all know, when you're on an airplane and when that moment happens, I don't think anyone's going to argue with me, unless you're a frequent flyer and you fly every other day. That's a time where people get excited, especially when you're traveling long distance to Eretz Yisrael. Oh, when the plane actually lands, everyone's nervous. It's a little shaky, a little nervous. There's a lot of tension. People start pushing and shoving to get out of the plane, azoy and azoy. But when the plane is about to make its descent, there's an excitement. We're now coming to Eretz Yisrael. It's a Zman of Chavivos, and it's not the end. It's the moment, the Acharon, Acharon, what comes before the end. Tomorrow in the time of Zman is exactly that day. Okay, now we have a principle in Chazal. Tomorrow's Yom Tov's Yards. Okay, now let's. I want to elaborate upon that. I want to throw out something that is a little bit strange. The idea, if there's anything to this, that is that we have a principle. B'nisan nigalu uv'nisan asidin lihi goel. We were redeemed in Nisan, and we will be redeemed in Nisan. And first of all, many of the Mepharshim this is machloikis Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua. This is a classic machloikis. To review the basic yisoidis, Rabbi Eliezer says we were redeemed in Nisan, but in Tishrei asidin lihi goel. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the geula ha'asidah will take place in Tishrei. B'nisan nigalu, it's true, in the past, mid time of Mitzrayim, we were redeemed in Nisan, but in the future, uv'tishrei asidin lihi goel. Along comes Rabbi Yehoshua and disagrees. Rabbi Yehoshua says, no, just like b'nisan nigalu, b'nisan asidin lihi goel, we will be redeemed in Nisan as well in the future. This is a classic machlokes Rabbi Elazar ben Yeshua. Now there's another classic machlokes Rabbi Elazar ben Yeshua. When was the world created? Was the world created in Nisan? Was the world created in Tishrei? Rabbi Elazar says the world was created in Tishrei. Rabbi Yehoshua says the world was created in Nisan, as we just mentioned this machlokes before. And we try to reconcile the two by saying that Elu v'Elu Diril Kimchaim Rabbi Elazar refers to Machshava, whereas Rabbi Yehoshua refers to Maisan. Okay, put that aside. Over here in this Svarim that I've seen, this is already in a few places, is many of the commentators want to suggest that these two disagreements between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua with regard to when the world was created and when the world will be redeemed are toluy zeh bozeh. According to Rabbi Eliezer, if the world was created in Tishrei, it has to be the world we will be redeemed, the ultimate geula ha'asida will be in Tishrei. It's always a full cycle. Just like we have a tradition that tzaddikim, they die on their birthday. There's a shlemus in the Bria. Hashem, when he creates a world, there has to be a complete cycle. So therefore, it's totally zebzeh. According to Rabbi Eliezer, if the world was indeed created in Chodesh Tishrei, therefore, that's why he says as well that the geula ha'asida will take place in Tishrei. It's a complete cycle. According to Rabbi Yehoshua, who says the world was created in Nisan, we will be redeemed in Nisan, because that will be his complete cycle. Now going a little bit deeper, what is the Chodesh of Tishrei all about? Chodesh of Tishrei is about year. Chodesh of Nisan is a Chodesh of Ahava, of love. Chodesh Aviv. To illustrate this, one of my favorite verilach is from the Sar Shalom Shel Bells. He says that we have a halach and Shulchan Aruch that in Rosh Hashanah, you do not eat nuts. Why not? Because egois is bigamatria chit. Is bigamatria. Egois is 17. And chet without the aleph is also 17. Why don't we refer to the word chet with an aleph? The Torah one time spells chet without an aleph in the parash of Avodah Zarah. There the word chet is spelled without an aleph, so if it's with Rosh Hashanah, there's only one melech, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the point is, it says in Shulchan Aruch that the minig is, on Rosh Hashanah, we do not eat nuts because it is bigamatria chet. Now, the common assumption is, so you don't buy nuts? O nuts is closed Erev Rosh Hashanah. No one's going to buy nuts. You'll buy other things. You'll buy licorice, you'll buy chocolate, you'll buy all other things, but you don't buy nuts. No nuts Erev Rosh Hashanah. The Sar Shalom Shelbel says that's not correct. Adarabah v'adarabah, the time to buy nuts is b'dafka erev Rosh Hashanah. You should all go out to the store and buy egoizim erev Rosh Hashanah. And you should bring it to the table. And you should show it to the children. Look what I got for you. Nuts. But you know something? Tonight is Rosh Hashanah. I'm not giving it to you. I want to tease you. Look at these delicious nuts. I'm not giving it to you. You know why? Because an egois is begematria chet. And in Rosh Hashanah, we have to do teshuvah to distance ourselves from chet. What then does the father do with after he makes that announcement? He puts it away in his Pesach kitchen. He puts it away in a special compartment. By the way, when you go on Erev Rosh Hashanah, you make sure he asks them, are these kosher l'Pesach? The nuts, yes, certified kosher l'Pesach. No additives, preservatives, kosher l'Pesach. And after you demonstrate the nuts, you put the nuts away in your buffet, you put it away in a special place. Then, fast forward 6 months. Leil, 6 months and 15 days, it's the Pesach Seder, and you make Kiddush. You then open up those, remember these nuts? Remember these nuts that I showed you on Erev Rosh Hashanah at night, and I told you you can't have it? Tonight, Mechalkim. Now, it says in the same Shulchan Aruch, you take those nuts and give it out to the Kindalach. And they're going to say, oh, but Tati, these nuts, you told us that it's chet. Rosh Hashanah, we did Teshuvah Meira. And Chazal say, when you do Teshuvah Meira, Zidoinois, Nase Kishkogois. Your averis that were done b'mezid, Hashem considers them to be accidental. But an accidental sin is still called a sin. Tonight is Pesach. Tonight we do Teshuvah Me'ahava. When you do Teshuvah Me'ahava, Zidoinois Nase Kizichuyois. So now we are higher Madrega. Those same nuts that were chatoim, which turned into shagogois in Chodesh Tishrei, now in Chodesh Nisan, have been transformed into zichuyois. And now I can give it to all of you. This is what the Sar Shalom Shalbel Belz explains to two simonim in Shulchan Aruch. Elul Tishrei, it says, you don't eat nuts. And in Hilchos Pesach, Mechalkim, Egoizim Litinoikos, Kedei L'Pashup Shadis, Kedei Sheyishalu Hatinoikos. What are they going to ask? What's the question they're going to ask? Kedei Sheyishalu. What are they going to ask? Doesn't tell you. You know what they're going to ask? How come these same nuts that you teased us on Rosh Hashanah, you did not let us eat, and now you're letting us eat? Ma Nishtana Halayla Hazeh Mikol HaLaylois. Why? That doesn't tell you what the question is. This is the question. You purchased the nuts Erev Rosh Hashanah, Kosher LePesach, you showed it to them, you teased them, and you took it away from them. Because Begematria Chet. And now those same nuts, no expiration date are nuts, you show it to them, you give it to them, Mechalkim, you distribute. They're going to ask, Maishnam, that was Teshuvah Meira, now is Teshuvah Me'ahava. Zichuyos, Zidoinos Naseh Kishkogos, and now it's Naseh Kizichuyos. That Vart really illustrates the essence, the difference between Tishrei and Nisan. If you hold, the world was created in Tishrei, B'yoim Biro Elokim. Hashem created the world, Bereshis Baro Elokim, Es HaShemayim V'Es HaAretz, Midas HaDin, Din, harshness, Din, Teshuvah Meira, Hashem saw the world cannot exist with Midas HaDin. So what happened? Hashem was Mitztaref, Midas HaRachamim to Midas HaDin, Chodesh Nisan, Chodesh Aviv, it's a Tekufa of Rachamim. Rachamim of Ahava and Rachamim, and that is the tseruf to the B'yoim Biroi Hashem Yudkei Vavkei Elokim. The two come together. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are not really disagreeing. They're just explaining the two sides of the same coin. In the Berea, there was a Berea of Din, and then there was a Berea of Rachamim, and the two of them are synthesized, they go together. It's an equal shutuf. Chodesh Nisan is an equal partner with Tishrei. The two go together. It's B'yoim Biroi Hashem Elokim Es HaShemayim V'Es HaAretz. Tishrei is Bereshis Bara Elokim. Hashem saw, can't go like that. It's not going to survive. Rachamim. And not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give Rachamim, he put Rachamim in front of the din. B'yoyim b'roy Hashem Elokim. And that's why Rishon hu lochem l'chadshei Hashanah. What do you mean Rishon? We started with Tishrei. We had a Rosh Hashanah. Doesn't make any sense. We have Tishrei. Tishrei is the beginning of the calculation for the secular kings. Everything we do is in Tishrei. Tishrei, Tishrei, Tishrei. For the laws of Shemitah, the laws of Yovel, the laws, all the laws. You go to Prizbal this year. Everything revolves around Tishrei. That's right. Because Tishrei was indeed the Bria, Bereishis Bara Elokim, the element of Bria of Midas Hadin. But now Hashem saw the world's not going to survive. It needs Rachamim. And not only am I going to create Rachamim, I'm going to give Rachamim more chashivos than din. I'm going to put the Yud Kei Vav Kei before Elokim, B'yom B'ro Hashem Elokim. So therefore, when it comes to Nisan, Hashem is going to recalibrate. We're going to call Nisan HaChodesh Hazel Lochem Rosh Chodoshim. Rishon hu lechem lechotshe Hashana. It's Rachamim b'yom b'roy Hashem Elokim. It goes in front. Okay. Now I want to go off on something in the 21st century. And that is, and let's explain. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, in the middle of Chiluk Aleph. I think it's Brichas Harayis and Chiluk Beis and Mishnah Berurah. That when you come to a location where a miracle, you experienced a miracle, you make a bracha. You have to thank Hashem. The person merited to experience in his eyes a miracle, even if someone will explain to you that it wasn't really a miracle, it was just, you know, a sophisticated form of science, but if in your eyes you had a revelation of a nes, you're obligated, when you come to that location, I make a bracha sh'osa li nes. And then there's another halacha where I like always talk about this halacha is that when once, or let's say a person experiences a lot of miracles, you experience the miracle in this location, in that location, in America, let's say in New York you experience a miracle, and you experience a miracle somewhere in Florida, and somewhere in California, and then you go to California and you go to that spot where you experience the miracle, the halacha is, once already you make a bracha, you go and you thank Hashem also for all of the other miracles that you have experienced. Once there's a trigger to thank Hashem for a miracle happening in one location that obligates you to thank Hashem for all the miracles that happen in all of the other locations. And we do this on Pesach. Nirtza, the piyutim that we recite after the Seder is over, many of them reflect upon other miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for Klal Yisrael. Why do we do that? Because once already we're celebrating the miracle of Pesach, that triggers an obligation to thank Hashem for all of the other miracles that we experienced throughout our history. Chanukah, we sing Mo'asur. What do we mention in Mo'asur? The survival of Klal Yisrael throughout the ages. Why do you say Mo'asur? That's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Once you thank Hashem for one miracle, it triggers an obligation to thank Hashem for all of the other miracles that you've experienced. Once we thank Hashem for the miracle of Chanukah, no, you have an obligation to, you know, a token zecher of the other miracles we've experienced. Purim, the kravets a little bit, okay, that's a little more complicated. But now, here's a little bit of just something which I've been playing with, thinking about, I don't know why lately, the last couple of weeks. We know in our lifetime, we have been blessed with having knowledge of things that our ancestors didn't really know, at least not the average person. And one of those things is that the earth circles around the sun. The sun is in the center, at least from our perspective. I don't know, I once spoke to Dr. Aaron Price. He said to me, how do you know the sun is in the center? There are many galaxies. Maybe there are billions of galaxies, and when you go look at the big, big, big picture, maybe indeed the earth is in the middle. It's only because we're looking at our galaxy and we see the sun and we see the planets going around the sun and the moon going around the earth. Yeah, but if you would go and you would look at Earth, this galaxy, with another trillion galaxies and look at it from the very, very big picture, that would create an entirely different perspective of who's in the middle. Who's in the middle is only when you define. You define. If you go, you have something on the table, you have to go define the boundaries. When you define the boundaries, then you can decide who's in the middle. But if you change the boundaries, what used to be in the middle is not in the middle. If you have the beamers in the middle, and then you go and you knock down this wall and you go out another 200 feet, the beamers are no longer in the middle. The beamers all the way on the side. Center is only defined after you define boundaries. The ancient times, they didn't know about this, all the planet, I mean, the whole system. They had different boundaries. So then the earth is in the center and the sun is going around us. Today we know better, okay? We think we know better. And we know the sun is in the middle and the earth is going around the sun. So scientists told us this. Who says the sun is in the center? Because you're defining the boundaries as defining one galaxy. But there are billions of galaxies, trillions of galaxies. So when you change the boundaries, then we can have a conversation. Who's in the middle? How does all this really work? Who's going around what? So even though this is a top, but in any event, I don't want to go there now. But right now, let's make believe that we do have boundaries, and that is we have a galaxy, and the Earth is indeed spinning around the sun. So now Pesach, this is in. I don't know, what is the circuit? Does anyone know the circuit, the diameter in miles? Maybe you want to check it out. How many miles are we now away from where we were? The Earth is going around the sun. How many miles away in location are we from 6 months ago?
Six times 30.
A million. The difference is 3 million miles between the sum of the furthest and the nearest.
How many?
We're crossing the equinox now on March 21st.
So it's from one end to another, diameter.
Spring is that we would be at 91.5 million miles.
91.5 million miles. So we are now located. We're 91 million miles away from where we were 6 months ago.
What? From 6 months ago, a million and a half.
A million and a half? Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
It was 93 million miles.
93 million miles in the summer, 90 in the winter.
So it's 180,000.
I'm talking about the Earth is traveling around the sun.
Right.
So if the sun is in the center, Tishrei, we were over here. Over here. Earth.
Excuse me, the average is 93. It's 91.5 to 94.5.
What's 93? What's 93?
The average of at tomorrow at the first day of spring, we're 93 million miles away from the sun.
Exactly. Okay, I don't need it. But now we're traveling around. It's much more than
6 months. You travel 1.5 million miles.
Can't be. It's much more than that.
No, 1.5 million miles.
It's not a
circle. It's not a circle. It's an ellipse.
So how many miles?
Miles is the difference.
How many miles have we traveled in 6 months? The Earth.
A million. Oh, how many miles have we traveled in 6 months?
180.
How many times every we go around the year in 1 year?
How many miles is a complete rotation? How many miles is a complete rotation of the Earth to its?
I don't know.
To simplify, make it a circle.
But make believe it's a circle.
I don't know how long
perhaps.
How long
all right, whatever it is, it's not whatever it is.
We're closest to the sun in the winter.
Okay.
Right.
But it's the angle at which.
The ellipse. What is the distance of the ellipse? How many miles is a complete cycle?
I don't know.
Okay, make believe. Make a throughout number. Make believe that 300 million miles. Make believe. Make believe 300 million miles. We travel. What?
Make believe how much?
300 million miles.
No, the entire trip that we go.
Entire
around, how
rotation.
Many miles
the Earth is moving. We're moving. We're moving.
It must be
the whole Earth is moving.
From the Earth from the south, 90 miles. If that's the case, then around 500,000. 149.6 million miles. 149.6 million miles.
Okay. So approximately 70
kilometers. That's 90, 900.
All right, it's not a point.
92
miles. So it's 45. So therefore, we now today are 45 million miles distant from where we stood in this world, Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. We have traveled. We have traveled. We're in a different place. We're in a different makom. Just like you travel from here to Eretz Yisrael, you travel from here to the Queens. Yeah, yeah. That's what I want to say. Is b'nisan nigolin u'v'nisan asidin lihigol. We don't look at it like this. We look at time. I always look at time is, you know, everything's the same. Time goes. It's not true. You're in a different place. In addition to the concept of time, the earth is in a different place. We're, just like everyone knows that, you know, you're here in Brooklyn, and then you can get into a car and you can go to Queens, you can go to Eretz Yisrael, it's a different place. It's a different market, which has a different climate, the Ruchnius is different. You're in a different makom. The Shechina, Hashem is mitzamsem his Shechina with an intensity in Eretz Yisrael. That's why Hashem made the world. You can daven here, you can daven anywhere you want, but when you go to Yerushalayim by the Kosel HaMaravi, you are in a makom where Kodesh Baruch Hu intensified his Shechina. When we go through the year, most people go through the year, you're going through time. Oh, this time of the year, okay, it's a zman. If a person has a din Torah with a Gentile, says in Shulchan Aruch, in Adar is a good time. You should schedule your mishpat with a guy, and in Av is not such a good time. How does all that work? We have emunah. That's how it works. There are dimensions that we are not aware of in the world of Ruchnius, which parallel the world of Gashmius. But it's interesting is that there's more to that, because it's a different location. The Chodesh Nisan, the earth is in a different physical makom. When a person experiences a miracle, you can't make a bracha every day of your life. I experienced a miracle. Only when you go to that specific, it is in this makom where Hashem has done for me a miracle. Yosef, when he went to bury his father, they passed the pit where they threw him into. And Yosef made a detour, stop the wagon, I have to get out and go to that pit and make a bracha. He can't make that bracha. He didn't make that bracha when they were in Egypt. He didn't make that bracha when he got back to Canaan. This is the makom where a miracle happened to me. Why can Yosef just sit in his bed in Egypt and think about it? Oh, Hashem did a miracle for me in this virtual reality. Put on a pair of goggles, and you can see the place, you can immerse yourself in the place. You can't. There are rules. You have to be in the physical proximity of that makom in order to trigger to make the bracha. Chazal never spoke about this. They never spoke about this. I'm just throwing out an idea. They never spoke about this. Is that b'nisan nigolin u'v'nisan asidin ligoel. I always thought about this as purely a concept of zman, time. We have a calendar, and we go through cycles of time. Obviously, there's a lot more to time than we understand. Einstein explained all these new chidushim that we never understand how time works. There's a dimension to time. Time is matter. Time can bend. There are things that we don't understand. But, you know, for the average person, time is time. Chazal never spoke about the earth being in a different location. Today we know that we are now approximately 45 million miles away from where we stood, where we existed in Hashem's world of Gashmias, than where we were in Chodesh Tishrei. We're physically in a different location. My question, I don't know the answer. Does that make a difference? Does that have any impact? Chazal never spoke about this because the average person, Tamar Chazal, didn't know about this. The average person, Tamar Chazal, the earth is flat and the sun rises in the east, sets in the west. Did Chazal have insight, special insight to know what's really going on? I assume they did. But the average person obviously did not. And the average person included everyone in Klal Yisrael, L'chayra. You know, the sun rises in the east, sets in the you're in the same location. We go through Zman, and whatever Zman means, Zman means. Today, we understand, at least the way we live today, is that that's not true. The sun doesn't rise in the east, set in the west. The sun doesn't budge. We are moving. And we, in this world of Gashmi, is just like in a microcosm, when you go and a person experiences a miracle in one location, you can't make a bracha. You can't have that experience and come close to Hashem unless you come into that physical makom. You can't make the bracha. You have to be in that physical makom. How far can you take this concept of, in order to re-experience something spiritual, connecting it? We live in Olam HaGashmi. Hashem put us in a guf in order to sanctify the guf. And that has rules. When Chazal say, B'nison nigolin, u'v'nison asidin lihi goel. We now know in our generation, it doesn't just mean time. It means the earth. 45 million miles is a lot. Try to hitch a ride for 5 miles.
It's not more than 49 million miles. 6 months.
Okay, whatever it is. So whatever it is. It's an enormous...
It's closer to 300.
Fine. Whatever it is. It's an enormous...
It's an enormous...
The world is an oilam hagashmi. We live in a physical world. The gashmi is not just here. It's everything is gashmi. The neshama is a completely different dimension. In halacha, you have to be in the makom. You have to be in the makom in order to make the bracha. In the makom. Nisan, we come back to that makom. We mamash come back to that makom. But here's the chiddush. So.
Well, Nisan would have been done both ways. So if in California, you say you can say for the Nisan. So we had Nisan in Tishrei. We had Nisan in...
I'm talking about the big picture. Where was the world located in this ellipse at the time?
The earth itself.
Where was the earth located at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Scientifically, make calculations. When we talk about the spring equinox, we look at it to the average person. The earth didn't move, and it's time that is changing. In making a bracha for miracles, you can't do that. Making a bracha for miracles, there is a concept of you have to go to the makom.
What defines a physical location of the earth relative to the sun at the spring equinox?
Pesach is not in Chodesh Tishrei. It's not in Chodesh Tishrei, not only because it's not the Zman, you're not in the right location. The earth is 40, at least, whatever it is, whatever millions of miles away, it's not in the physical location. To make the bracha, she'osa li nesba mokoyim hazeh, you got to be in the physical location. In the big picture of things, the earth has to be in the same mokoyim. Oh, when the earth came, when the earth moved and came to this mokoyim, she'osa li nesba mokoyim hazeh. However, it's not true, what I'm saying. Because since Bezdin has the koyach to be ma'aber the shana, Bezdin has the power to add a month to the year, or to this year we're not going to add a month, even though maybe we really should. So it comes at that when it comes to Pesach, we're not really in the same spot. We're approximately in the same spot. Dal Ramos. The big Dalai Lamas.
Within
15 million miles. It's like the big, you know, expanded Dalai Lamas. Wait a minute. If you were to say what I'm trying to say is that I want to make a parallel to Yosef HaTzadik, because he's Feresh Chazal. He got out of the chariot. I'm going over here to the pit to make the bracha. I can't make the bracha when I was home. Here's the first time I can make the bracha. And the brother, oh no, what's going on over here? Getting all nervous over here. So we know that the earth is traveling. and we're coming back to the same location. And that's when we're saying Sha'os Anisim Lavosenu by Yamim Mohim Bazman Azeh, we're celebrating Pesach. But we're not. Because it's taken not the same location. Because HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim, Hashem made the world in such a way that we never really come back to the same location. We come back to an approximate location, and yet we make the bracha. So there is a divide between the halacha of going to a mokoim and saying making sha'asa lines b'mokoim hazeh, and time, which I'm telling you, time in addition to time, what is time? I'm trying to tell you, time is really mokoim. Okay, I'm trying to suggest to you.
But even on all of that, when I go to my mokoim that I had my nes, and I had my car crash, and I flipped over, I am not in. How about walking on to that spot?
You have to see it.
I got to see it.
You got to see it.
I got to be close enough.
Close enough.
What am I saying?
Dalaramis. Dalaramis.
Within a million miles.
Dalaramis. So you're telling me is that the difference of the Ibur Hashana is within Riyah.
It's within reality.
It's like within Riyah. It's the same that you come to that spot, I can see it. So when Chazal make the calculation, so we can make the bracha, because we are within Riyah, we can see the place already. Okay, if that's what it is, I accept 100%. Or maybe, why did Hashem make the world that cycle, you know, make it easy for us? Why did Hashem make it in such a way where Bezin has to always manipulate, it's not a perfect cycle, so we have to, 1 year, add a month, don't add a month, add a day here, not add a day there, in order to keep on keeping up. Why couldn't Hashem just make the world? And yet Hashem says, no, I want to put you in the driver's seat. I want to give you koyach to decide when that zman is.
It's because we learned that in all of his lectures, every month you have a chance to renew yourself.
You're saying everyone knows this basic principle. Shabbos is Kviva Kaime, and Yom Tif, Hashem went out of his way to give man power over time. Hashem bedafko made a world in such a way where the whole reason of HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodashim, which includes the whole Chiddush, you decide on the Zman.
Mekadesh Yisrael.
Mekadesh Yisrael.
Yisrael.
Is Mekadesh the Zman. You decide on the Zman. Okay, that's very, very nice. Everything is fine and good. I'm trying to go one step back and try to bring out how powerful that really is. Because if let's make believe for a moment now that the cycle of the Chodosh will be perfect. Make in the fantasy world. There's Shabbos every 7 days, and the year is exactly 12 months bidiyuk. If the cycle would be perfect, then when it would come Pesach time, you would argue the Pesach is not totally in Zman. What is Zman? What is really Zman? Zman is Mokoim. What is Zman? How is today different than yesterday? It's because the whole earth, we live in a world that we have understanding, the whole earth has moved slightly. So we are now in a new spot. Zman can be defined physically today. When you talk about, okay, this day of the year, that's not an abstract concept. It was an abstract concept in the time of Chazal. Because in the time of Chazal, if you accept that the average person believed the earth is flat, I'm not going nowhere. No one's going anywhere. So how is today different than yesterday? Abstractions. Zman. What is Zman? I don't know what Zman is. Today, you don't need to say that. Today, you can define Zman as where you are. Where am I? I'm on Earth. Where is Earth? It's not in the same place it was yesterday. Earth yesterday was a million miles somewhere else. The Earth is in a different location. So you know what that means? You've made Zman into a Dover Gashmi. Because you can define Zman by physical location. That's an incredible thing. That's not the way the ancient people, I don't know what Klal Yisrael was thinking, but the ancient people didn't look at it like that. Go into the mind of it, of someone who lived 3,000 years ago. How do you define time? What would they tell you? I don't know, it's just an abstract thing. It's not abstract to us. Today, it's location, 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 location. The earth is in a different location. That's a physical reality. And that's the moment you're in now. The moment you're in now is not the place where you were, it's not the location you were yesterday. So if the Mo'adim would be on a perfect cycle of 12 months, it would fit the halacha bidiyuk, Yosef HaTzadik. I want to make a bracha she'osa li nes b'mokoyim hazeh. Zman is mokoyim. The earth is now, it comes to Chodesh Nisan, it's she'osa li nes b'mokoyim hazeh. When the earth was in this location 3,000 years ago, 3,334 years ago, Hashem did a miracle for us.
You're describing a quantum mechanics, but this is a small statement.
Some equations of quantum gravity, such as Wheeler-DeWitt equation, which assigns quantum states to the universe, can be written without any reference to time at all.
Yeah, so it's just a place.
A place. We know this today. This is a modern concept. If the earth is flat, you can't say this. So if we would go back in ancient times, Chodesh Nisan is basically we have right now. You don't need Zman. Why do we celebrate Pesach in this month? It's because if you go to a place where a miracle was done for you, she'osa li nes b'mokoyim hazeh. Now we've come to the Mokoyim, she'osa li nes b'mokoyim. The earth is in this Mokoyim, where Hashem did for us the miracle 3,334 years ago. So nochamo, we'll say this bracha, we'll eat matzah, Pesach, matzah, moror, she'osa li nes b'mokoyim hazeh. And yet Hashem says, no, don't do that. I don't want you to be megashem the Mo'adim. It's very tempting to do that based upon that. I want to make a cycle that's bedafka, not perfect. Where, guess what? When you come now, Pesach night, you're not in the same place. You're a couple of million miles away from where you should be. So you want to say, Avdov wants, it's good enough. You don't have to mamash stand in the same spot on the highway where the miracle happened. You don't have to stand mamash. But you got to be on the highway. You got to at least see it. I don't know. Maybe you're right. 30-day, you know, you have a 30-day difference. You know, what is the slippage? The slippage between the two extreme ends. Maybe you can say that when it comes Pesach this year,
the slippage is 30 days because when you haven't been there for 30 days, you got to make the bracha again. So there's the slippage of your 30 days.
So then you do have it. I'm just trying to throw out an idea, is that, let's assume, is that because it's 30 days, it's basically whatever it is, we're not in the same place. Wait a minute, if we're not in the same place, you can't make a bracha. If Yosef gets off on the wrong stop to go see the pit, this is not the pit you threw me into. I'm in the wrong place, I can't make a bracha. So we're not in the same place. We're a few million miles away from where we're supposed to be. So how can we observe Pesach? How can we observe Pesach? We live in Olam HaGashmi. Everything is Gashmius. Gashmius, Gashmius. HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim. I want to Klal Yisrael. Not everything is Gashmius. The Mo'adim are defined by things that are totally abstract. Totally beyond Gashmius. Yeah, I think there's an idea here. You're slugging it up and telling me we're in the same place. Dr. Dove is telling me a few million miles, big deal, come on, a few million miles. It's like a few million dollars. Big deal. Right? No big deal.
Technically, you're never in the same place, but the sun is technically moving through the universe.
Okay, so that you're already changing the boundaries. We're not into that generation yet. Right now, in our generation, we have boundaries where we perceive that the sun is in the center and the earth is moving. By that revelation is such an awesome concept because it changes the concept of time as being something abstract to something that is physical. And in the world of halacha, to make brachos on miracle, everything in halacha is physical. You have to have real food. Everything is physical except for Torah. Torah is ruchnius. But besides Torah, everything is physical. When you want to talk about miracles, sh'asa l'nes, that's b'mokoyim hazeh. So Chodesh, if when it comes to the time of the year, when we want to commemorate Pesach, it's a time. The earth is now in the exact same mokoyim where it was when the miracle happened to us 3,335 years ago, I think it is. Okay, very nice. Everything is physical. Along comes Hashem, and Hashem says, no, you're making a mistake. You're not in the same place. It would be a bracha levatola if you would go with that principle, because you're not in the same place. You're too far away. You got to be within Dalet Amos. It's not Dalet Amos. And yet I'm telling you, make the bracha and celebrate. You know why? Because Zeman is not rooted in physicality. Especially Zmani Kodesh, holy Zmani. And I'm giving this to Klal Yisrael for you to sanctify something that is not Gashmi, because the Neshama is not Gashmius, Torah is not Gashmius. And just like your Neshama is not Gashmius, and Torah is not Gashmius, I'm bedafka making a world where you're not going to be in the same Mokoyim. You're going to be in a different Mokoyim, and yet you're going to celebrate Pesach based upon an abstract concept of Zman, which is not physical, because you're not physical and Torah is not physical. I put you in this world, mafli lasois. I've linked you with an Olam HaGashmi. Break out of that Gashmius. You're not in the same Mokoyim you were 3,003. You're not in that Mokoyim. And yet you're going to celebrate, make those brachas, because it's going to help you appreciate what Kedusha is. Kedusha is not Gashmius. It's an idea.
Well, very good. I have a thought as we were speaking. By Birkas Achama, we actually wait for the sun to be
in the same, same Mokam. Physical. Right. That path of physical, right.
Right.
That's right.
So it depends maybe what we're saying the bracha on.
Right.
The bracha of Chama
is physical.
Physical Mokam.
Mokam. The earth is in the same place.
We can only say it's once in 20
Right. It's Mokam. Right. It's physical. But Ruchnius, we're breaking out of that. Because we're not in the same place.
Right. But here, we're not making a bracha on the Chama.
That's exactly what he's trying to do.